This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
This will be Thanksgiving week. For some of you, probably most of you, you might be Zooming, Skyping, having a phone conversation with relatives you would normally get together with. And this is what scares so many people, that many of you who are going stir crazy and want to celebrate the holidays are going to hit the highways and find your way to grandmother's house or wherever, and there may be gatherings that are too big. If you are tempted, I'm just telling you, I'm challenging you not to go there. And I know it's tough. I miss my bigger family, all my cousins and relatives back in New Jersey, or then there's some in Florida too. But yeah, too risky, especially with the different age groups. But either way, happy Thanksgiving week. Hopefully you will find some time to yourself where you can squirrel away and watch, I don't know, maybe something that's been on your list for a while, or pick up one of these great books. You know, we've had all these wonderful authors on. And speaking of that, coming up this hour, Stuart Lau will join us, and he's written a book called Mindfulness of Intimacy, and he talks about relationships. Imagine that. And relationships, some that are tanking during the pandemic and some that are soaring, because it's such a challenging time for relationships. There's so much togetherness, and in one way it's good, and some other ways it's not so good. And I think some people take the relationship for granted. He goes much deeper on that and talks about the difficulties of relationships and how you can improve it. And he actually had some really great suggestions. Also, we had a wonderful conversation with Kevin Sorbo. That's part of what happened this year as we look back. And he talked about some funny things that happened in his movies, also what he had coming up on the horizon, and the fact that he and his wife have always homeschooled their kids. And he said, I don't understand why people complain about the schools, and then why don't they take it into their own hands, and that they've never had a problem with homeschooling. So that's what they've done. In fact, it's interesting. I was reading a thing about homeschooled students, that they often get better test results, because there's that theory that, well, what about socialization, and what about tests and what they learn? But for example, even across the pond in the United Kingdom, the BBC did a huge report on homeschooling, and they found that it's increased, of course, and now for everybody, it seems like everybody's homeschooling, but they saw the numbers shoot up when it came to better tests, that the research was suggesting that they were, getting much better grades when they were tests, and their certificates were, they were scoring higher, and the average scores were typically about 70 marks. There is how they do it. So they were rising in spelling and writing, etc. But whether that's happening in the United States, which I think there are statistics to kind of bear that out too, it depends on the study. The fact is, in some way, there's homeschooling going on because of schools that are half in and half out, or schools that now, where we're here in the fall and getting into the winter, and we're seeing the rise of COVID cases, there's no other choice because the districts aren't having the kids at school. It just depends on where you are listening to me. And then a conversation with Laurel Myers. And Laurel Myers, I think, I thought of Thanksgiving, and the reason I thought it would be good to go back to Laurel Myers is because she wrote a book about her experience with the Naval Yard shooting, if you remember that, and how horrible that was, and chilling, that you had this 34-year-old, Aaron Alexis, who fatally shot 12 people and injured three others in this mass shooting at the headquarters of the Naval Sea Systems Command inside the Washington Navy Yard. And she talked about, and it's very eerie, but there's lessons in this. She talked about what it was like to know, am I going to make it through this? How do I survive? Hearing the bullets, hearing what was happening, surviving that, and then getting through it after the nightmares and everything else that she took away from that shooting and what that day was like for her. And it's chilling, and there's also the lesson of coming out on the other side and surviving, and how do you survive in that PTSD that would certainly weigh heavy on anyone's mind after being that close to the shooter on the same floor and where he was moving in a couple of different places, and realizing, wow, am I getting through this, or how do I pull it together, and how do I, you know, survive it. And I thought it'd be fun to give you a couple little quick nuggets about Thanksgiving. Maybe you can share them at your Zoom table. So we know that Thanksgiving happens on the fourth Thursday, November, of course, our whole lives in the United States. And also, by the way, Thanksgiving is celebrated in various states, in Canada, Brazil, Grenada, and a couple of other places, Norfolk Island, a couple other places celebrated too. But anyway, the pilgrims, this goes back to 1621 and their harvest meal. And it's become a day of massive food, feasting, football, and family. I mean, the traditional gatherings, that's what it is, right? From the pilgrims to everything in between, including how did it become a national holiday. And the mother of Thanksgiving, as she's called, lobbied the president at the time to proclaim it a national holiday. And who was the president at the time? That was Abraham Lincoln. Yeah. So Secretary of State William Seward wrote it, and Abraham Lincoln issued it. But the proclamation for Thanksgiving goes to Sarah Josepha, I think is how you say it, Hale, and she was a prominent writer and editor, and she had written the children's poem, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Did you know that? I know her. I didn't know the middle name. I knew her as Sarah Hale. So she wrote, Mary Had a Little Lamb in 1830, and also helped found the American Ladies magazine. It was kind of her platform to promote women's issues. And then, you know, her career kind of took off from there, and she was the one that came up with the concept of a national Thanksgiving. Or maybe it didn't originate with her, but she really pushed that idea because it was floating around, right? A national day of thanks, and there you go, you get the Thanksgiving. Because even George Washington was calling for a national day of thanks to celebrate the end of the war and the recent ratification of the Constitution back in 1789. John Adams jumped on that train. James Madison did, Tom Jefferson. So there were a lot of the founding fathers who thought that there should be something in the way of thanking. But Sarah Hale gets the credit for really pushing it. She also thought it as well. And I don't know that you'll ever look at Thanksgiving in a different way. Mary Had a Little Lamb, right? Crazy. All right, Kevin Sorbo coming up next.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay Wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority, according to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America. This motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
I'll tell you what, Kevin Sorbo, no kidding, is really one of my favorite actors. Why? Because I remember seeing him not too long ago, I'm going to say, because we don't want to date ourselves, as Hercules in The Legendary Journeys. But since then, oh my gosh, the breadth of his work is incredible. One of my favorite movies a handful of years ago, God's Not Dead, tremendous. Let There Be Light, another great movie. So he's the kind of guy that can crisscross in a lot of different directions, and he's making an impact on the world with his faith and spreading that. He's got a great book out that is one that I think you really, really want to pick up because it will give you strength during this time as you read his book. It's called True Strength. You can pick that up on Amazon. Kevin Sorbo, thank you so much for jumping on the show with us.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me back.
So we had a quick chat about the fact that, gosh, how many movies have you made? It's a lot.
I've done 64 movies. Now, along with my 7 years on Hercules and 5 years on Andromeda, and staying busy. I got three movies that are due out this year. When? We don't know now because everything got pushed around. The one that I'm most proud of those three is the one I just directed. It's called Miracle in East Texas, the true story set in 1930. Had a great cast with John Ratzenberger, Tyler Mayne, and Lou Gossett Jr., and it's been kicking butt in the film festival world, and hopefully we'll get it out in theaters by fall or early winter this year. Depends on what happens with this whole virus thing going on.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. So what was it like, you know, jumping behind the camera? And you're involved in a lot of different things. But in this Miracle in East Texas, how was that? What was it like directing Lou Gossett Jr.? I mean, I remember him from, what was the movie? He was so famous, it scared me to death, The Deep.
The Deep, yeah. Of course, Officer and a Gentleman and many other movies. Lou was great. He was fantastic. Unfortunately, I didn't get to act with him. I was very jealous. He's the narrator of the film, but he's he's present day, and he goes back. He's being interviewed by a couple of high school students about a true story set back in the heart of the Depression. And so he starts the movie out and becomes sort of the narrator of it when we go back to that 1930 year. But it was great working with him. It was great working again with John Ratzenberger. You mentioned God's Not Dead, but I did a movie with those same writers that came out 2 years earlier called What If? And I think What If's even a better movie. And now people are all holed up in their homes. I highly recommend picking up What If? Great family movie. And honestly, I think it's a better movie than God's Not Dead. It's in my top five for sure. But hey, I got two documentaries coming out this year, but a third one just came out 3 weeks ago. It's a number one rated documentary for three straight weeks on Amazon called Before the Wrath. And we're going through a time of wrath right now. Trust me, this is a very interesting documentary on the Book of Revelation. So I hope people check out Before the Wrath.
All right, Before the Wrath, that's great because everybody's always asking for suggestions, and I do movie reviews and doc reviews, so I'm going to definitely put that on my list for later today. When you were a kid growing up in Minnesota, did you know that you would end up with this, with the kind of life that you're having and the influence?
You know, it's funny. I knew at 11 years old I was going to be an actor. I grew up in a little town called Mound, Minnesota, which is about 25 miles west of Minneapolis, and I grew up in the beautiful shores of Lake Minnetonka. Our little 7,000 populated town, we were home to Tonka Toys. Get it? Lake Minnetonka, Tonka Toys. I knew at 11 years old. I went and saw a play at the Guthrie Theater, a very famous theater in Minneapolis. A lot of people from Broadway performed there as well. And I saw Shakespeare, didn't know what the heck they were saying at the Merchant of Venice, but I was blown away by it. And then I caught the bug right then at 11.
I love it. And so then the rest is history, as they say. Tell us about True Strength, because I popped that out at the top here, your book.
Well, True Strength is a book that was born out of my wife beating me to death verbally to write this book. I didn't really want to write it, to be honest with you, because I dealt with a very tough time in my life, the end of season 5 on Hercules. I had an aneurysm unbeknownst to me inside my shoulder. And it opened up, sending hundreds of clots into my left arm, but three clots went in my brain. I suffered three strokes. So right at the end of season 5 in Hercules, I went from a guy in his 30s who was in better shape than most people in his 20s to a guy who couldn't even stand up and walk anymore. I had to learn how to speak again, had to learn how to balance and walk again, and it took me 3 years to fully recover. So it was a long road. My wife bugged me and finally wrote the book, and it actually came out in 2012, so it's been out for 8 years already, but it opened a door for me that I thought I'd never be doing, and that's public speaking. So it really is a book about finding your own true strength when we hit the wall. We're all going to come to a roadblock in our life, and how do you react to that roadblock? No matter what age you are, life is not always meant to be perfect for us. So this is a book about, it's got a lot of humor in it, but it's a book about really finding your own true strength and battling through the life's adversities. So I hope people check it out. And I just did a follow-up book with my wife called True Faith. And True Faith just came out recently, about a month ago. So they can go to Amazon, or they can go to my website, kevinsorbo.net. That's kevinsorbo.net to get an autographed copy, or go to my wife's at samsorbo.com to get a copy from her as well.
All right, so tell us about a little bit about True Faith, because I mentioned that too, that how important your Christianity is to you.
You know, True Faith really ended up being something we didn't. It was supposed to just be a straight follow-up to True Strength, but we see what's going on in relationships, and it doesn't necessarily have to be with marriage. It's relationships as a whole with people, where we've made relationships, we've marriage as disposable as we've made human life through abortion. So, it's really a book about everybody's going to have problems in their life. Everybody's going to run the roads once again, right? Relationships are not always going to be perfect. You're going to change through the years. How do you keep those relationships going instead of just throwing away and just moving on to the next one? Because the grass isn't necessarily greener on the other side. So a lot of times people end up getting in a relationship and ends up being the same as the one they just got out of. So it's once again, it's got a lot of humor in there. It's got, like, we're recording the audiobook right now as I'm speaking with you. And, I think it's a book that people will find interesting and find a way to not necessarily, you don't have to be a person of faith, be a person of religion to read this book. It just really comes down to how do you keep things alive in your own life with your partner in your life.
We're speaking with Kevin Sorbo, actor. actor, director, I'm going to say entrepreneur, author, you know, you name it, obviously public speaking, and you've had some great influence there. What, and you and Sam have three kids, so what do you tell them during this pandemic, and how's that going?
Well, you know, we're homeschoolers anyway. My wife is a homeschool advocate. She does a lot of speaking on it. She's got a book out there called They're Your Kids. And you're seeing a lot of people going crazy right now because they actually have to spend time with the children instead of using the government assisted baby program, babysitting program called public schools. So I think some good's going to come out of this whole coronavirus scare going on. And I think homeschooling is going to grow. I think people are going to realize, you know, I can do this, because a lot of people freak out and they think, I can't homeschool my kids. How could I possibly do that? So what you're saying is the same system that you went from kindergarten through 12th grade in has not prepared you enough to teach a first grader. So what does that say about the system, and why are you sending your kids back into that system? So, you know, America ranks 27th in the world. That's pathetic in our education system. So we know that we need to change things and fight things and move things around. So for us, it's sort of business as normal, but we always take walks and we take bike rides together, and we've always done that. I hope families are doing that. You need to exercise during this time, guys. You need to stretch, do yoga, find a way to do push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, whatever. But you got to stay busy, drink a lot of water, try to stay healthy. It's the best way to fight what's going on right now in our world.
Oh, yeah, that's some great advice. So it's business as usual for you. You mentioned recording the audio book of True Faith and of course, the documentaries. What else is on tap for you down the road?
Well, I had three movies lined up to shoot this year. Now they're all moving. I've got a TV series I'm starting in September. So I left L.A. over a year ago, but it looks like I got to go back for a couple months to shoot this comedy. But the trouble is, you know, it's affecting me just like it's affecting everybody else. I mean, I do a lot of speaking events. They've all been canceled and or postponed. I had appearances at Comic-Con shows, autograph shows, because Hercules and Andromeda are still out there in 60 countries. And, you know, these are all lost incomes for me just like everybody else. And it's frustrating. I'm not like, you know, crying a river thing. This is happening to all of us. We have to find a way to get around this. We can't live our lives like this forever, right? I mean, we got to figure out exactly what's going on, where this disease is going, and how we can fight it. But it's not going to go away forever. I mean, this is going to be a thing that's going to be up there just like the flu for the rest of our lives. But we have to find a way to get back to normal, whatever that new normal is going to be, because we can't live in our homes the rest of our lives. It's just not going to work out for anybody in the world.
Yeah, I agree. Kevin Sorbo, I could talk to you all day. Thank you so much for popping on.
My pleasure. Anytime when those other movies come out in the fall, hopefully we can talk then and give them a little plug.
That sounds good. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Stay at home. Public health concerns. The reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Georgia is set to begin another recount Tuesday after President Trump's campaign requested one over the weekend. Georgia law allows candidates within 0.5% vote margin to request a recount. Current vote totals show a gap between the president and former Vice President Biden of around 12,000 votes, or about 0.25%. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger says his workers are ready to begin another count. He tells Fox News that despite finding errors that uncovered more votes for the president in the first audit, he doesn't see the vote totals changing much this time around.
When we did the first audit, we found mistakes in three counties, and that added over 1,000 votes for President Trump, and those were all added to his totals now. That has all been accounted for, and so I think this one will be very close to what we just have now, so I don't see much difference whatsoever. It'll be just run through the scanners again, and we'll get those results.
This is USA Radio News. The Federal Aviation Administration gave Boeing's 737 MAX planes the okay last week to resume domestic flights. The jets had been grounded for more than 20 months following a pair of deadly crashes in 2018 and 2019. One airline CEO believes the safety issues that caused those planes to be grounded have been addressed. Tim Berg has more from the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau.
Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly says software issues in Boeing's 737 MAX plane that crashed twice and was grounded for the longest period in aviation history have been easily addressed. As far as if people will have issues flying on the Boeing 737 MAX,
I don't think so. The MAX is a great airplane, and the software issue has, I would, in layman's terms, easily been addressed.
That audio courtesy of Axios on HBO. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
The Navy Yard shooting. My mother worked for the Navy in Philadelphia, and when what unfolded not too far from Philly, you know, outside of the nation's capital, everybody went into sort of a silent prayer and panic mode and everything else. Imagine living through that. So Laurel Myers joins us. She's written a book called Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. And she's the subject of our Author's Corner. Laurel, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So take us back to that moment. You were there, and there was so much nonsense that came out afterwards, and misinformation, and, oh, what he had done, and et cetera. But you were there. You were in the middle of that.
I was. I was on the same floor, just a row of offices between his area and my area. And I guess you call it stupidly, but I automatically picked up the phone and dialed 911. So I was on the phone with 911 the whole time.
One of the things that you learned, I'm jumping in here for a second. One of the things you learned is that you had people around you that were like, what do you think? Your first instincts. You're on the phone with 911. How are you keeping quiet, and what are you doing to hide or keep yourself covered?
Oh, I had a cubicle with some vertical files in the back of it, and I ducked down in between the two vertical files and pulled my nice black office chair in front of me and my black briefcase piled in front of that in the bottom of the chair. So I was in the shadows, but I had the phone lying down with me, the office phone, and the whole time I was talking to the operator, I made sure that I couldn't hear him nearby, hear him or feel him. And the one time that he did come by, you could feel him there because the building was originally built for building the 16-inch guns that were to go on battleships. And the cranes were still there, the cranes that held the guns that were being built. And all they did was put in suspended floors. So we had five floors of that were suspended from in the building. And I was on the fourth floor where this all started. And I could, you could feel the footfalls of people walking by. So knowing that there was no one else nearby and feeling the footfalls of this heavy person walking behind me, I told the operator that I was not going to talk to her and because I feared that he would hear my voice. And I didn't want her to talk to me because I feared that he would hear her voice. Mm-hmm. And he stood behind me in the cubicle behind me and walked and paced back and forth and stood. And then you could feel when he changed his weight from one foot to the other. And I was so afraid that he would hear me, or I was afraid to breathe even, because he would hear me. And the walls of the cubicle are just material. They're no protection. And if he heard me, he would shoot through the wall, and that would be it for me. So I put the phone down, and put it down facing the floor so that if she did talk, it would be to the floor, not to me. And the entire time he was there, I just did not speak and almost did not breathe. And then as I felt him walking away, I finally had the nerve to pick up the phone again and let her know that we could talk again. That is the closest he got to me.
Wow. Wow. So you come out of this, and as I said, the title of your book, Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. How do you return to a normal life after that?
Still working on it.
Wow.
I was seeing a couple of psychologists for a while there, and a psychiatrist and a therapist. And, one by one, we dropped them off, and I got down to one psychiatrist and one psychologist for 5 years. And it came to the point where both the psychiatrist and psychologist wanted me to go back, when we opened the building again, go back into the fourth floor where he had gone, and the now new remembrance area, and in our old cubicle area. So I made use of the chaplain that they had there, and I talked to him about it. And at first I felt the God had abandoned me. And I told the chaplain this, and figuring he would, chastise me for this. And he said, no, the chaplain was Jewish, and he had his culture had gone through the Holocaust. And I said, how do you do this? And he said, he gets up every day and he prays. And I said, I can't do that. And he said, it won't happen. And so he assigned me to go through one of those areas, and I said, I can't do that unless I can talk to you afterwards. And he said, no problem. Call me when you're going to do it, and I'll set time aside. So we did this, and he assigned me to read two books by two different people who had lived through the Holocaust and had written about the same feelings I was going through. And once I had read them, I thought, well, I hadn't gone through the Holocaust. I'd gone through a shooting. I hadn't lived through years of being treated the way those victims were treated. And so started comparing my feelings against their feelings. And the chaplain said, okay, I think you need to write a book. And so he assigned me to write a book. He said, I said, okay. And as I went through the different areas, I began to feel, well, God didn't abandon me. He abandoned us, all of us, those who died, those who were affected, just the whole building. And then I began to find myself saying their prayers, just as two writers of those books had found themselves saying prayers. And over a period of years, I started going back to church. My husband asked me to go to church with him. And I said, oh, okay. But I didn't sing. I didn't even listen. I just went with him because he asked. And slowly but surely, I started participating again in church. And now I find that I am doing more praying. I am doing more of the singing in church. It just took a long time to work into this, amazingly long time to work into this. And now I just found that God lets things happen and lets us work it out.
Wow, what a powerful story, and what happened there, and what he taught you, what the rabbi taught you. What do you hope people learn from reading your book? What do you hope they take away from it?
What happens to you happens for a reason that's unknown to us, and it's up to us to figure out what was the intent and what we're supposed to take away from it, and to learn from it, and to move on. And eventually, it may not seem like it right now, it's supposed to make us a more powerful person, a stronger person. And this is the part, I think, where I'm at now. It's I'm working on the being stronger part. Now, this shooting happened in 2013. This is 2020. And I'm finally getting to the part where I'm working on the being stronger. So it does take a long time.
In writing the book, as the rabbi told you, did it feel cathartic to you? Was it good to release all of that?
It was. It was good to compare. It felt very strange to have the same feeling that these two other people had, who had been through a lot more than me. At first I didn't feel like I deserved to have those feelings, because I didn't go through this huge, long, life-changing event that they went through. I went through a shooting. I had friends killed, and I still had that same feeling. I couldn't reconcile that, and I kept asking why, and that question didn't get answered. So I think it was the point of God lets you figure out why in your healing.
That's very powerful, and the book is powerful. And again, you can pick it up on Amazon or any place where great books are sold. Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. Laurel Myers, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority. according to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America. This motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
And Howard Jones Jr. wrote a book with that title, so it's hard to forget. I'm going to tell you also, if you're listening to me, Edaphos, when I say it, it's a Greek word, and it's E-D-A-F-O-S. I'm saying that because if you look up the book, I want you to know how to spell the title, and many of you are probably laughing because you already know what the word means. Howard Jones Jr., how are you, and thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So, tell me about the book. Why did you write the book?
Yeah, well, the initial reason why I wrote the book was that at first when I was in high school, I wanted to get into game design, and to kind of keep some of the ideas, I just kind of chronicled them down into, my four or whatever. And eventually once it got through and finished, I guess my father knew about it somewhat and contacted some publishers, and that's kind of how it got started. So by the time I finished it, I was a senior in high school.
Ah, so the question is, before we dive deeper into the story, were you a big gamer? Were you into games, that whole kind of thing?
Yeah, I've kind of always been into that, and that's kind of what, because a big thing I've realized growing up is that, one of the mediums of storytelling isn't just relegated to books and, oral storytelling. One interesting way I found medium for storytelling was, through games. And, one of the big influences specifically for Edaphos would have probably been, the Elder Scrolls series, namely Skyrim, was probably like a big influencer, especially in the Nordic culture of my main character of the book.
Yeah, so in developing that main character, what was that like for you? Because you, I think you have to let your imagination run wild, right?
I was actually put a lot more effort into it than I would probably have seen, because one thing I wanted was a main character who wasn't so powerful, his challenges didn't seem that real or dangerous, you know? So a big trait of my main character is that he has to rely on his charisma and his, you know, leadership skills and other things about his character. Because, you know, in the group of adventurers that, you know, readers will follow in the story, he's surprisingly the weakest person. By no means weak, as in, because he's still a skillful swordsman, skillful fighter. But, you know, he lacks the powers, I guess you could say, magical abilities that the rest of his friends have.
Yeah. And again, we're speaking with Howard Jones Jr. Adophis is the name of the book, Divine Win. That's where you'll find it on Amazon. And in coming up with the sword fights and the corrupt kings and religious struggles and, my goodness, what a vivid imagination. That's what I was referring to in the last question, like how do you come up with this world? And part of that, I think, has to come from gaming and getting in the gaming mindset of anything's possible and it's a different reality. So do you think that is part of it?
Well, ironically enough, like to some degree, I guess you could say it's the opposite, or maybe a mix of. Whereas a big thing that I do besides gaming is I read and enjoy like a lot of history. So one of the big influences when it comes to the events, cultures, places, and people in my stories is, you know, history, or I guess because they're like an alternative look at it, you know. So a lot of real life history kind of goes into some degree of my world building or some inspiration of it.
And in writing this book for, you know, you're there in beautiful St. Thomas, which now everybody's incredibly jealous. What a beautiful place to grow up and to be from. I mean, you got to know that, man. It's so chill, and the people are so, so friendly. And I can only imagine your squad, your group of friends. What do they think of you getting this book published?
Well, at first, the first time, like, remember, I could remember this exact day when I got it. I showed my one friend the book, and he saw the book, and he was up there like, yeah, I wrote this. My other friend was like, yeah, he wrote this. You see this? And my friend was like, no. And he just walked off saying that, you know. Later on, it kind of became the thing of me just being known as the writer, you know. Everyone knew me as the writer in full, and even outside of it. And they will often, you know, you just say I'm having difficulty with an assignment that's writing. It will always go back to, but you're a writer kind of thing.
That's funny. So they're busting your chops. You've got this book. You, I would imagine, want to do more. Do you think there's more books in the future for you?
Oh, yeah. That's like right now I'm actually working on two projects, whereas I'm working on the third book of Oedipus, which will be known as Oedipus Black Blood, which will be a conflict more centered on, like, the godlike beings of the world known as the divines in the story. You know, it's where their own conflict kind of seeps into what the mortals have to deal with. And, you know, I'm going to have way more books on the series and stuff like that. And as well, I'm working on something that's more local, but it's more of a fantasy story based around the islands itself, which, you know, which I've finished the first book, but I haven't done work in publishing it yet. But those are two things that I have, like, working on the way.
All right, I love that ambition. Your father has to love that ambition, does he?
I would feel so. I mean, I guess he was the one who got this all started, because, you know, publishing, book writing, all that stuff was not even a consideration. But once he saw this whole, you know, 300-something page document, I guess he kind of saw that there had to be something more to it, something that could be done about it.
Yeah, there you go. That's good to have that backup from the family. So when people read Oedipus, the Divine Win, this first one, what do you hope they take away from reading it? The people that are listening to this conversation here in the United States and across the world, what do you hope they take away from it?
Well, I feel like I didn't really have any massive, like, you know, moral of the story or theme. It was mainly kind of just, you know, as is a story of that world. Though you know, the different situations that the characters will get through and go through. So, you know, as corny as it sounds, the value of friendship, like teamwork, positivity, those types of things, as well as the need for us as people to, well, probably not violently, of course, but to stand against things that may not be good in our society, things that, you know, we may have the power to ask and talk about, you know, because that's what my main characters do. They see problems in society and generally will try to rectify it in whatever way it allows and fits for that culture.
Yeah, there you go. That's a perfect place to finish this. We wish you the best, and Howard Jones Jr., good luck with that second book. You can get the book on Amazon, and thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thank you.
All right, I love that the title is unusual and it makes it stick out. And, of course, Howard explained why that is and what that means. And Edifice is really does take you on a journey. This is a book that really anyone could read, especially as he mentioned history so big. That makes sense. History combined with his love of gaming in a way, because of how the thing that I think that's good about gaming is the imagination, the stretching of the realms. But as he mentioned, not to confuse that with that he likes to read history, that he is a history buff. And so that makes sense when you read the book. You know, we're talking about the realm of Edifice, and that it's been peaceful for about 300 years, you know, after 300 years of war, actually. And a war to conquer the land started by the godlike beings called divines. That's then part of the title and makes sense. And through unbearable, unimaginable pain and crazy suffering, they finally get peace. So again, remember what I said. You think of wars and you think of history and you think of 300 years of war and then how much after that they had peace. So, and that was about a century, right? Now you throw in these corrupt kings, and I mentioned that to him, and you mentioned the religious battles and how you've got one boy whose path was on the road to conquer, I think it's Cardia, rebels against the ideals of his people. So look at those themes, and what are those themes that you think about? I was just thinking this. I was even thinking like Game of Thrones. I'm thinking of things that I've watched series, but also like Howard, I'm a history fan. And in mixing that story, and I don't want to give too much away, it makes sense because it is steeped with things that we've heard or talked about or learned in history. So absolutely fascinating. And imagine you're sitting there in St. Thomas, beautiful St. Thomas, and he's riding away, and now he's got more in that series to come. So thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and, of course, listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody. The name is Yoshino. She's a black belt in karate. Working for the city.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Argo Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.